Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Well, I tell you one thing. I put my career on the line for this. They can take my badge and take my gun and call me a loose cannon, but if I have to break down every law in the books, then damn it, I'm gonna do it, because I'm doing this podcast because this is Beyond the Scenes, damn it. This is where we dig into your favorite segments from The Daily Show, and we don't stop until we solve them, no matter what the cost. And if you haven't guessed by now, we're talking about police and how they're portrayed on TV shows. It's called Copaganda. It's a piece we did about cop shows that have dominated TV for decades and how the portrayal of policing affects our understandings of law enforcement in the real world. Roll the tape.
Police dramas are iconic, hugely popular, and now under intense fire from activists who say these shows far too readily portray cops as good and trustworthy.
I never put a hand on them.
While undermining real-life claims of systemic racism and abuse.
Police not only consult on these shows, but they're also very aware that their portrayals impact public perception, and they have a vested interest in making sure that portrayal is positive.
Yes, believe it or not, watching cop shows makes a lot of people see the police as infallible. And honestly, I don't blame any of these people. I mean, I'll admit, a lot of my perceptions about reality have been shaped by TV as well. Part of the reason it's easy for TV shows to convince people that cops are always right and always good at their jobs is because that's what we want to believe, right? I think we can all agree that we want people who are gonna enforce laws fairly and effectively so that we don't have to do it ourselves. I know I don't wanna do it.
Now, to talk a little bit more about this topic, we're going to talk with the people that helped make this piece come together. Two hard-nosed detectives who brought this piece to life, and they live for the Daily Show badge that's on their chest. They both own Blue Bloods on VHS and DVD because they're diehards. One of our deep dive producers, Madeline Coons, hello to you.
Hello, hello.
And one of our writers, Ashton Womack. Ashton, how you doing? Ashton, I heard that you own the whole box set of Law & Order LA.
Yes, I do. Only to learn what not to do and how to avoid the cops. That's what I study.
So for the people who missed this segment, could you all, I'll start with you, Madeline. Tell me what this segment is all about.
The segment's called Copaganda, and a lot of that is just like, it's looking at like just the prevalence of cop shows. I think if you think of, I mean, one is like the most watched genre of like all TV. Like it's the most popular genre of like all TV shows, which is crazy. And just like the absolute prevalence of that on TV and like how that actually influences our opinions in real life about law enforcement. Because as we mentioned in the piece, like just like most Americans really have such little interactions with police. You know, I think it's like 20% of like all Americans. So like we really don't see the police that often. And yet we have this like deep familiarity with like law enforcement and like the policing system in a way that doesn't quite make sense unless you take into account like the hours and hours of TV watched and like the media that we consume.
That statistic you just said was crazy. Yeah. 20% of all Americans.
20%.
Only
20%. 100% of all black people have definitely dealt with the cops. So it's like...
And we're only like 13% of the country.
I know.
Yes. Who's these other 7%? Who's these other 7%? Who's the 7%?
They're like, where are you? Step forward. Name
what
yourself.
Lucky
like,
individual.
Ashton, did Copaganda work on you growing up in the sense of you see these shows where, you know, essentially the police are always right. They do whatever it takes to get the suspect. And you, the viewer, understand I had to break that rule. Otherwise, that bad guy would have gotten away with the thing. How much did television influence your views and opinions of the police?
It never influenced my opinions of the police because I had actual experience with the police. So when you can show me something on TV all day, but if I go outside and experience a whole different reality, I'm just disconnected. I don't believe what you're showing me. So I always grew up. That's why, like you said earlier, it was a joke, but I genuinely did not watch, like my mom watched NYPD, New York Undercover. That was like probably the one show.
That's the one that got black people. We watched that one. I don't want to age myself, but yeah, I'm in ballpark your mama's age. Yeah, no, it was Malik Yoba, man.
Yeah, Malik. Wasn't the Puerto Rican guy? I forgot everything. But
in the last act of every episode, they would play music, and it would be a live artist. I'm so glad you chose me. So you got to see black music and culture, but we also took them down and put them into a system that ain't going to treat them right fairly when they get in front of a judge.
That was my experience with watching TV or watching cops on the TV. I would watch cops and obviously root for the people running. I'm like, come on, dog, jump that gate. Jump the gate. Make it. And that was
so
my experience.
So you watch cop shows to root for the criminal.
Yes.
Someone's got to. Someone's got to be on the side.
I've had, you know, my own experiences. You know, I've said this, you know, I haven't said this often in life, but I've had a gun pulled on me 5 times. 4 of them were police officers.
Jesus.
To the point where if just a regular dude on the street pulled a gun on me, I like them odds better.
You almost would be like, show me your badge.
Well, in a weird way, because you know, there are certain cops that are going to follow the rules and the training worked fine. But the likelihood of me running into a cop that is nervous is higher than me running into a dude off the corner who's nervous. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just a regular ass dude, robbing somebody is one of the boldest things that you've already decided that nothing can happen to you. So within that boldness, oddly, I believe, is some level of decorum.
You know, like there's honor amongst thieves, but not amongst cops, apparently. Like
that's I'm just saying, if you told me a gun was going to get pulled on me tomorrow and I got to choose random dude on subway track or police officer, I would choose random dude on subway track.
And that's a huge testament to policing in America, especially for black people. That's crazy that you feel that way. You should be calling the cops on the guy. But instead, you have to, if you call the cops, they gonna come and pull the gun on you. They gonna think the robber is still in the, he's still here. And then, like, it's.
And you bring up, honestly, like, Roy, you bring up a really good point about being, like, the nervousness of police. Because I do think, like, a huge theme in, like cop shows and procedurals is showing, like, how cops are not only like superhuman, but like they're making these split second decisions, like with a very cool head and almost like moving in a way that's very confident on screen. And so people kind of use that and transpose that, I think, when they think of cops in real life. Like they don't understand that there is like someone who is being nervous and not, you know, like it kind of pushes that idea that like the decision that the cops are making is always right on TV because they're not hesitating.
The one thing that I've always found ridiculous in any police show or any police movie is when they commandeer a regular person's vehicle to keep the car chase going. Like the robber takes a motorcycle and then the cop, just, like Bad Boys 2 is the best example where Dan Marino was on the test drive and they snatched Dan Marino out the car. It's like, come on, you wouldn't do that.
Stop the car. Get police, pop the trunk. Get out. Get in.
I am in the middle of a sale.
You have to pull my gun. Oh, shit, Dan Marino. What's up, man? Back up, Dan. Hey, you're the truth.
Whatever you need, officers.
Hey, Marcus, that's Dan Marino.
Hey! Back up.
Let me know how it rides.
Oh, he gonna test drive the shit out this.
And it's always, like, dramatic. They're, like, holding, like, some groceries, and they're like, what? And then they throw up some, like, orange.
It's the flashing of the badge or not. They're just like, I'm police! And they, you know, like, they're just like, who is this random dude?
I'll say this. The conversation around Copaganda almost ruined Bad Boys 3 for me. I'm glad I got that one in just before. Under the wire. That came out January, the same year of George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And like I was like, whew, I'm glad I got my trilogy. Yeah. Now I can stop watching them types of movies.
You can retire now.
Yeah. We waited, Roy. We're not going to do that to you.
What made you all want to talk about this piece? Like, just walk me through the genesis of this conversation in the building? Did this start in the writer's wing, Ashton, or did this start over in research in the producer wing with you, Madeline?
So I'm in a smaller department called the deep dive department. So, we do a lot of looking into a lot of non-headline issues. Ashton is our very successful alumnus. So last year, back when he was in deep dive, it was the end of June, the last week of June is when this aired. So a few weeks before that, when we were talking about just the rise of the Black Lives Matter protests that were springing up across the country and the world. After George Floyd was murdered, it was watching over and over again, both just watching the news, but also, for work, just watching the overwhelmingly peaceful protests and then seeing the police brutality that was being brought into that peaceful space. And just seeing those images over and over again and the videos of people who are very young, but almost always Black. And Ashton can talk more about this, one thing that I think got me started to think about this issue was just, or this piece was more just because, Ashton was protesting and the way that he was beaten by police officers and seeing that happen so close to home in a way, made me really, it got me thinking a lot of just, again, as not one of the 21% of Americans who've ever really had run-ins or police encounters, and just how looking at what was in front of me and how unmemorable the few police encounters I've had in real life are, that I just don't remember. I don't remember them that much because they're not consequential in that way. So it was really trying to get to the bottom of that.
Let's stay with that for a second, Ashton. Madeline says she can't even remember most of her encounters with the police. Walk me through some of yours.
I don't even know where to start. Even as growing up, and you grew up in a Black neighborhood, it's just ingrained in you. I can't even remember the time when I ever thought police were heroes or good. It's always been a negative interaction with my community, to the point where you play cops and robbers, don't nobody want to be the cops. Everybody's like, shit, I'm a robber. Hey, you got, it's, no one you saw, when you see someone coming in and harassing your community, you don't see them as the good guys. I remember I've had plenty of interactions. When I was younger in Texas, I got arrested for weed twice. When I was a teenager, everybody, obviously it's proven Black, brown, white kids are doing smoking weed at the same exact rate. There's no race doing it more. Yet I would hear these insane stories about how my friends would get pulled over and the cops would be like, oh, you're good. But if they just smelled anything around us, we were going to jail. We had to deal with it. We were in probation. We had to deal with getting put into the cycle that keeps people in jail, especially Black people. Exactly. You get put in a situation just because of the color of your skin to be in a cycle of the carceral system. You go to probation. They say you need to find a job and pay these fees, or you're going back to jail. Well, if I don't have no job and I can't pay, I'm going to jail. I've had a lot of interactions with the police, with the carceral system. It's kind of designed for me to have those interactions. It's clear as day that I was dealing with a racist system, and so were all my friends around you. And it's not until hearing stories like Madeline's that it's like, oh, you really had a different experience dealing with the police. It's like that made up a large part of my teenage youth and stress, and my mom being disappointed in me, and me thinking it plays deeper effects on you because you don't think you're going to be able to succeed in life. You feel like you've been thrown away, and that's. I'm sure I'm not the only person who feels that.
When we come back to Beyond the Scenes, we're going to talk a lot more about Copaganda, and I know both of y'all got a favorite cop show, so don't even sit here in front like you don't. Start thinking now.
I'm going to ask.
Only one. Okay. Yeah.
Don't lie.
Emily, you're asking us to name only one. I was like, how can we choose?
The one that I love, I consider one of the best television series of all time. And I'm so ashamed when I tell y'all the premise of the show. Ashton's going to be furious. We'll be right back.
Oh, God.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Madeline, I'm going to start with you. We're talking about copaganda. Copaganda, which is the deliberate or unintentional portrayal of police in a positive light to thus make law enforcement look very agreeable and as if our criminal justice system is working for everyone when we know that it isn't. But even when we know that, I still think we all have guilty pleasures. There's foods that you're not supposed to eat that you eat. You know they're bad for you. So we all know there's TV shows that are kind of bad for your mind that you still sometimes check out. Madeline, what is your favorite cop show of all time?
I mean, I will say the one that it's not one of the typical procedurals in terms of like cops, but Criminal Minds, which is all about like the FBI like profiling serial killers. It follows like the same exact formula and the template. And like, I don't know, it was on all the time when I was in grad school. I was in Ireland, and like the only TV channel that we got was this like Criminal Minds like during the break. And I was like, well, this is what I'm watching. Like, and I just got so addicted to that show. But it was also really crazy. I was just like, oh, wow, we're exporting like the way that we see law enforcement and policing to like the rest of the world. So, but yeah, no, I watched like all of it, and it's not good, but it's hugely problematic.
Ashton, I already know your answer. You watched New York Undercover, but that's only because Malik Yoba was in it and Ice-T. I grew up watching T.J. Hooker. He was in syndication by that point. William Shatner just is a tough L.A. detective, always in a foot chase with action music playing and all of that. 90s, early aughts, New York Undercover, and then Third Watch was a show that I loved. It wasn't extremely popular, but I thought it was well done. But my GOAT TV show, I have four TV shows that I think are just canon in this television universe: The Wire, The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and The Shield.
Oh! We definitely watched now, some of that.
It got violent there at the end.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk copaganda, and this is going to dovetail into my question about you all's research into researching this segment. But The Shield, for those who never saw it, it was a show about a dirty cop unit. It was based on the Rampart unit in LAPD that was just running roughshod over people in the 90s. But in the show, They're a dirty unit, but they sometimes do the wrong thing for the right reason. I'm a dirty cop and I steal, but I steal to pay for the private school for my autistic child. See?
What?
See?
Yeah.
You like me, right?
No, I hate you.
There was a cop that was investigating the unit, and this is the pilot of The Shield. I'm not even giving away the series. The first episode, there's a clean cop investigating the dirty cops, and they kill him. And the rest of the series is the lengths that they go to cover up that crime.
Oh, wow. This kind of sounds good.
It's one of the best television shows ever written. But
I mean, it was a big rise of like the anti-hero. That's like he was like
Vic Mackey and Tony Soprano were the only two that existed. Those are the only two characters that existed where I should hate you, but you do good things, because he would also do dirty stuff and solve the crime of the week. Mm-hmm. But he would break all of the rules to, oh, my daughter's been kidnapped and it was a Colombian. So then he would go into the hood and chop off 8 Colombians. My bad. That was the wrong Colombian. Anyway, we found the girl.
But we found her in the, it's very like ends justify means 100%.
I bring all of that up to ask you all, in the process of researching this, what were some of the common themes that you saw through all of this in terms of the programming?
There's like 3 on the top of my head that come to mind. And like the first one was that like all these cop shows, just like how many there are and like just like the format of the procedural of like solving a crime every week, it really makes it seem like violent crime is like increasing, or like this like reality that we live in where in fact like violent crime has been like trending downward over time. So it's just like, but this idea of just like seeing crime all the time makes us like deeply fearful and makes like having a police force necessary, which I, you know, is not the way that you need to view the police force, especially if you're looking at like funding issues and things like that. The second one was more like this like weird, like colorblind magical world where there's like a lot of black and brown people in roles and like judges and like other police officers. So it's like there's race, but racism doesn't exist. So it's just like, you're like, oh, so that's okay that he's chasing that guy, because it's not about a systemic problem. Or like if they do deal with race, it's like a very special episode and it's all about like one black cop. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he was mean to me, and it's like, must be hard for you, you know? And then it's just like, oh, but it's like not
The Wire
like,
season 4.
Yeah, it's like the whole, yeah, exactly. You're like, it's that one guy, not a system. It's okay, we're moving on and we're never gonna mention this again. Just like this idea of like, I did what I had to do, you know? Like this idea that like the way that we have normalized like the abuse, like the intimidation, the like boatloads of like illegal surveillance that these shows do, and just like we normalize that feeling, and so it's excused and justified, and we think like the cops have to do it to be good, and so because the police are the good guys, that like it's almost just like even when they're bad, like the system only works because the police break the rules. Like that's the only way the justice system works.
We can't just break protocol because we think it's right at the time and expect to get away with it.
Normally I'd agree with you, but in this case, I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission.
As you well know, we will need a warrant to search the house.
Agent Callan, these are exigent circumstances. You let me worry about the legal ramifications.
If I gotta bend the rules a little bit to get a bad guy off the street, I'm gonna do it, and you would too.
Forget warrants, forget the rules. It's on us to catch him.
Ooh, that was cool. Although what that guy was actually saying is the Constitution is for pussies.
I guess the things that stuck out to me as well was like what they didn't show. It was like the same. The people who wrote these TV shows were the same people who wrote Florida's critical race theory laws. They're like, we're taking all the black stuff out. You don't even pay attention to black stuff. And it's like, that's what I paid attention to. Having cops that just trying to make them lovable when I just never saw a lovable cop. And I was like, who are these down to earth, humane cops and why am I not getting any of them? That was what I noticed the most. And like Mads was saying, it was how they portray these cops as these like just anti-heroes. And what kind of really did stick out was like seeing them break the law, even in their own system. Like they couldn't say like I was saying, say if they needed something out of evidence locker, they would break the law in the police department. They didn't follow the law anywhere. They'd be like, I need something out of here, out of the evidence locker. And they'd be like, sorry, I'm not allowed to. And then they smash their head up against the evidence locker. And then the evidence locker opens up and they're like, guess I didn't need you anyway. And
it's like
they would just break laws.
Your head.
Yeah. It's like, you broke the law in the department. And it's like, to me, what it was upsetting to me, because it's like, well, it's, you're normalizing this behavior and you're allowing, you're, we were basically giving sanction to, for officers to be that violent and that like aggressive even all, throughout the entire time.
I'm so sorry I pitched this, Ashen, because we had to watch so much, like we had to watch so many episodes. Like,
okay, yeah,
we watched a lot of TV.
It was brutal.
A lot of TV, dun, dun. A lot of it was super bad. There was just like some crazy, crazy, crazy episodes that I was like, how, there was a Blue Bloods episode where a cop, like literally he chases a suspect who is black into an apartment building, like pulls out his gun and is like, stop, free, you know, freeze or whatever. The guy on the second floor throws himself out of the window, lands on the ground, and then he like breaks his arm. So he's like, police brutality, police brutality. And I was like, this is not, but police, it was like a 3 minute long, you know, scene. So like, we couldn't use it, but I was just like, who sees this and thinks that's what police brutality is?
Police brutality.
Wait, don't shoot. Shut your mouth. Hey, back inside the apartment. Turn around, put your hands against the wall. I promise I'll throw you out that window.
Give me some examples of stuff that you wish had made it into the piece but didn't because of time.
The kids piece, the kids portion.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
The propaganda that gets shown to children and, you know, slowly indoctrinates them into believing that, you know, everything is good with the policing in America and getting them to, which, I mean, you don't want to like, which is, it is a fine line to walk. You don't want to introduce negative thoughts around policing, but you do want to be honest to your kids about what policing in America is currently. And so, but we had a vast, vast PR system targeted towards children for police. Paw Patrol, which I think is the most insidious one, because it's like, cops are, dogs are definitely racist. And then now they're cops. There's doubly racist.
What?
Yeah.
Dogs, not
what? Dogs,
wow.
Don't see colors. Right. They don't.
Wow, Ashton. Wow.
Have you met the Paw Patrol? Because I've met them.
Oh,
took
no,
my boy
man.
To Paw Patrol live pre-COVID.
I don't know, man. Dogs don't see color, and I don't trust that. I'm like, bro, you should
see
my car.
I see if all of the Paw Patrol was German Shepherds, and you as a black person would feel some sort of way based on the German Shepherd's relationship with the black community in the 60s. But I'm not going to let you blanket all dogs. Not all dogs. What about reality TV? Where does reality television fit into playing a role? There was a television show that used to come on True TV in the early aughts. This is when reality TV was really wild. The show was called Bait Car. And Bait Car was a show where they would have a nice car and leave the engine running and just leave it in a low income neighborhood.
I love that
and
show.
And then some random dumbass would hop in the car. Ooh, the key's in it. Hell yeah. And they would hop in it, and then a kill switch would be activated. Mm-hmm. They would be locked in the car, and then the cops would pull up and take them to jail for car theft.
Okay, these guys are right up on the car now. They're in the car. Driver's getting in. Stand by.
Big car heading north.
Okay, shut it off.
The kill switch stalls the engine and locks up the windows and doors.
Right here. Oh!
Hands up! The R up!
Ivan.
It's too late, dog. We're going to jail, dog.
It's like the police were creating scenarios for crime instead of going to find crime. Like, a show like that, and I'll be honest, you're right, it was entertaining, Ashton.
Because
the funny in it was watching people trying to figure out how to get out the car.
And you, and like for me, when I would watch Bait Car, I know what the outcome is going to be. I know every single time they going to jail. Yeah. But I still would be like, come on, brother. It's like rooting for the Washington Generals versus the Harlem Globetrotters. You know they go lose, but they got one fan in me. Like,
It just never really hit until, you know, a year or two later where you're just like, you knew, like, well, should the police be doing this? Anyway, it's entertaining. Then years later, you go, wait.
Like, that's really messed up.
Messed up.
Reality TV is almost like its own, you know, own piece in itself because it's just so expansive. Mm-hmm. So we really didn't have time to fit that into the piece. But, like, we did look into a lot of reality TV, and it's deeply disturbing to watch. And it's also just, I learned a lot more about the show Cops, though, which...
Yeah,
I think everyone watched, whether they realized it or not. It was on everywhere. Bad boys,
what you gonna do? It wasn't all bad, man. It's like sometimes I got to watch some of my favorite clips from. Yeah, I got to watch some of my favorite clips from Cops. There was one clip on there I remember watching. It was like this one lady. She went to a cop and she was like, "This lady, this drug dealer. I was trying to buy drugs and she ain't selling me the drugs." And then the cop was like, "What? Show me who it is." She went to the lady and she was like, "Ma'am, did you not sell her drugs?" And she was like, "First off, officer, I'm not a drug dealer. I'm a prostitute.
I don't sell crack. I'm a prostitute."
And then we were like, "Well, what? What is that?" So there's classic clips. Don't get it wrong. Cops got some, you know, good stuff.
There's
but also, it's a terrible show. It's a terrible show.
What I didn't know actually before doing this piece was just like the history behind Cops and how it was really used as this like PR vehicle. Mm-hmm. So it started to like get big after it was like a year or two after the police beating of Rodney King. Is like the show Cops was invited by they got permission to film in L.A. And it was specifically to rehab the image of the LAPD to make them like receive better coverage. And like that became the Cops models.
They know what they're doing. They're rehabbing their image. Like when Justin Bieber did the roast of Justin Bieber, it's like, oh, this is to rehab his image. That's literally Cops.
That's Cops.
The,
yeah.
The roast of the San Diego Police Department.
Cops did get taken off the air during the George Floyd uprising in this country. At least no new episodes. I've heard rumors that it's starting to seep back into syndication in certain places, but I want to talk to you all about the future of Copaganda and where we go from here now that we as a country are actually aware of what the hell is going on. Also, we need to talk about why all these rappers end up being cops at some point. LL Cool J a cop on NCIS. Ice-T is a cop. The Ice Cube is a cop in Ride Along. We need to talk about that transition from F the police to how much you gonna pay me an episode to be police?
Can I apply to the police?
This is Beyond the Scenes. We'll be right back.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
I want to talk about where can we go from here in changing public perceptions through entertainment. Because I'm going to be honest, I have two cops in my family, Chicago suburbs and a Mississippi state trooper. A lot of cop work is mundane. It's weird. It's talking to a prostitute who supposedly sold me drugs, but she's not even a drug dealer. It's that type of stuff. A television show's job is to tell a story, to wrap you up in a story with drama and conflict. So you need conflict if you want a show to be good. If you're telling them the truth about policing, it's probably going to be boring. You need some... I'll give you a perfect example, Ashton. The Shield, season 5. Anthony Anderson was the villain. He had killed a girl and hid the body. And they spent the whole season trying to find the body of this girl. Vic Mackey finds out that Anthony Anderson's son is in prison in a minimum security jail. So Vic Mackey has his son transferred to maximum security, where all of Anthony Anderson's street gang enemies are incarcerated, knowing what they'll do to his son. And Vic Mackey used the threat of prison rape and traumatizing a 19-year-old to find the body of the dead girl and bring the family justice.
Can we all vote right now for the Shield dramatization podcast just by Roy? I would listen to that.
Was you not enthralled by that storyline?
Yeah,
That's how you get leverage on a criminal.
I don't even want to watch the story.
Yeah.
But like I know that that's not realistic. But are there any show like? Because to me, there are aspects of police work that I don't know anything about, and that I do, to a degree, help inform me. I will say that Law & Order SVU, by and large, was a great part of my education on just how terrible a gender men are. Mm-hmm. And that's a show, it's not an easy show to watch, even with Ice-T with his perm. I feel like that's why they have Ice-T in that show, is to make it more digestible for Black people, because, you know, it's so serious and heavy. And then Ice-T just walks in around, man, he did it, man. We got to take him down.
Whoa, is that a body over there? It's just like, yeah, that's a body. That's a body over there, Ice-T. Yeah, no. Well, 100%, that is like one of the things that we're running into, not running into, but we discovered is, and we kind of already knew, is that a lot of what they show is violence. They over-sensationalize the violence aspect of police work, and they minimize the actual police, the work of the police work, which when you hear these protests, you hear about it all the time. You hear that, like, the police are overworked. They have too many jobs. There should be mental health counselors going out for certain to deal with certain problems instead of sending a police officer. That's why, you know, a large percentage of police shootings end up being disabled, mentally disabled or handicapped people, because they only know how, but they're dealing with problems that shouldn't, you need a hammer, you probably should give to other people. But it is an over-sensationalization of police violence. And I think you definitely got to start there.
Madeline, do these shows have a responsibility to be socially conscious or to just be entertaining?
I mean, I think there's a space between there where it's like, if you're going to try to push like a realistic genre, like policing doesn't exist in a vacuum in our society. It has like very real implications. I mean, I will say watching SVU, which is a show that I loved and I loved Olivia Benson, it did make me feel like I would be kidnapped at any time, anywhere in the city, because that's what happens at the beginning of the episode. Of like every episode is like, this woman has been kidnapped. They will beat up the suspect until they get her location and they will save her just in time. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the reports that really helped this piece was Color of Change did this like massive study of police procedurals. And they released this like really large report. It was called like Normalizing Injustice. And one of the stats they found, which I think, Ashton, you can talk more about this, being a Black writer, you know, in often a very white space, but 81% of the writers on these scripted TV shows are white. So you don't have the demographics reflecting the reality. So, I mean, maybe it's less of an outright responsibility, but like if they're going to try to tell stories, it's like you don't have enough voices in the room to actually tell that story.
To tell it balanced and tell it properly, yeah.
So I think that's why we're seeing a lot of these storylines.
I know Viacom CBS, who's a proud parent company of The Daily Show and the Beyond the Scenes podcast. Viacom, CBS, and other networks, they've hired, you know, a lot of consulting groups to police their portrayal of people and the criminal justice system in their program. And it's almost like they've, like, companies have had to hire, like, it's not enough to just cancel Cops and say you're not going to show Cops anymore, but now you need someone to come in and audit your whole situation to find where your racial blind spots are.
And it's, you know, all love to Paramount, but it's crazy that you have to do that when you can just hire people of color or people who've experienced those things. You wouldn't need a consulting group if you, you know, if this country's done the right thing and put people and allowed people to tell their own stories.
I'd say just especially like if no harm was coming of this, like maybe they don't have a social responsibility, but like we've seen that these shows are like actively shaping our perceptions of police, right? In a way that doesn't match reality and that might be deeply harmful for certain people in society who have a lot less power. So yeah, I think something has to change and it has to change just as much behind the camera as in front of it. So
I think one of the things we did learn while researching this was how, and we probably said it already, but how these shows literally, they created the perspective of kind of black people in policing and why it was okay to be overly brutal to black people in America because they're watching these police shows and the criminals, though there was this notion of having like the cop shows would have black police chiefs and all that, you would still have the criminals overwhelmingly black or POCs, and it kind of justified in America's mind the brutality and that it needs to happen. And that is like that is the problem. When someone else has control over your image, they have the control over my image, they can do with it what they will, and they put that image in other people's minds, and now I have to deal with the consequences of what they've put in people's minds.
Actually, Madeline, excuse me. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, Madeline. I had a question for you because you mentioned that you had police officers in your family, and I'm wondering how they're affected by watching cop shows and like how, if that changed your perception of watching cop shows. Because I don't have any law enforcement in my family, so it really was like being raised by Olivia Benson, you know. Yeah.
Talking to them taught me the mundaneness, the overwhelming mundaneness of police work. Which I think feeds into the, when something, oh, you got some action, it feeds into that, oh, shit, y'all will stop me. This is everything that I've been trained to stop because this is the one thing that I should always be careful about. Like, when I saw Bad Boys 2, the thing that's always made me laugh about police work in general on television is after they shoot somebody and then they just go on about the rest of the case. Like, you're supposed to get pulled off and take 14 days and go see the psych card,
yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to go do all, like, Bad Boys 2, they blew up the whole freeway.
And there was no paperwork. They're just like, great.
There was no paperwork. Good job, boys. Keep it the case.
You destroyed Cuba. $16 billion worth of city damage, and God damn it, you do it again.
And, like, yeah. They get a pat on the back. They're like,
they went to Cuba without clearance from the government to save Will Smith's girlfriend. And blew up a mansion. So Bad Boys 3 should have just been them coming back from suspension for the last 15 years. Yeah. I have a black question for you, Madeline. Just sit this one down. And me and Ashton,
I was like, please don't say me. Please don't say me.
I thought he was going to say you.
Denzel's Oscar in Training Day. Proud moment or no? As a dirty cop.
I mean, obviously, I think it's very nuanced. Proud moment because wasn't it like one of the first times a black actor was able to get be awarded at that height?
For the
but it
lead.
Had to, yeah. But it had for to be lead. For being a crooked, dirty cop. I mean, they could have gave that to Carl Winslow. He should have been. Why we got to start with the dirty cop? Carl Winslow was a great cop, and he taught America good values, and he didn't get awarded at all. So I don't know.
To say, as far as propaganda goes, Carl Winslow really did come home with a good attitude for somebody who was on the Chicago PD. Carl Winslow was Chicago PD.
Yeah, and Urkel was his worst problem. No, the GDs down the street. You worried about the wrong.
Are these changes enough? It's what's happening. Is that enough, or is there more that needs to happen? And if so, what else can we do? Or do we just wait and see? Do we just blacken up these writers' rooms, blacken up these diversity panels? and consulting, hire black consultants and see where that gets us in a couple of years? Or are there more drastic things that you all would like to see happen in the short term?
I think it's not enough, but I don't think it's enough. I think we are skimming the surface of how we are truthfully telling the nation's the relationship we have, the America has with the police. I don't think there's any story out there that's actually actively portraying how current modern day America's relationship with the police. That now, that being said, that doesn't mean to go on the other opposite end and just be like, all cops are big, you know, have a show called ACAB and then just, you know, just show the negativity and only show just the worstness of cops, because that's not the case either. But we have to find a way to tell the true story of policing in America. I know it's entertainment. I know it's TV. I know it's entertainment. But for the past like 30 years, it maybe longer than that, it has not told the real story, and it's had a negative consequence on many Americans.
Madeline, what stories surrounding policing and our criminal justice system would you like to see told?
I mean, I agree with Ashton. I think that we haven't really seen a real portrayal. So I do think showing that. I also think there just needs to be more space for other stories that don't only tie black people to policing as well, right? Like, we can't only have stories of tragedy. You know, I think like showing the full spectrum of humanity, which is often not shown on police procedurals, like you just need space for like other shows as well. But again, a lot of that change happens like, you know, in the writer's room. I mean, I'm kind of curious now, like, because you're both actors, like, would you be in a police procedural? Like, would you take a role as a cop or a detective?
That's like asking me if I want to play a slave.
I guess that's like. If it was changed. I think it has to change a lot, but I don't know exactly how.
Well, I had a sitcom that was originally in development here at Comedy Central where I played a probation officer. And for me, I wanted to show the redemption side of the criminal justice system, because I feel like that's something that we don't see enough of. Most shows that involve the legal system, it's either the cop, it's the case, or it's jail. Mm-hmm. But there's never anything on the other side of that. I would say the only show in the last couple of years to even come close to that is The Last OG on TBS. Mm-hmm. And that's really more the first two seasons where we see Tracy Morgan's character going to a halfway house. Mm-hmm. And that's really not about the criminal justice system as much as that show is more about one man's journey back from all of that. It's not really peeling back the layers of probation and the bullshit and everything you go through and keep this job. But you got a job, but the job is out of your travel district and the judge won't give you clearance to go to the next county to work. So now you're in violation because you're two payments behind on your restitution. Like, they don't really get into that on The Last OG, but that's definitely, you know, that's definitely been a show that I've enjoyed seeing kind of explore just a different part of that world.
They do that in Atlanta. There's like scenes of in Atlanta in the TV show Atlanta. Childish Gambino's character, he gets arrested, and throughout the season, you see him still having to go to probation office. He calls out, if I don't pay, I'm going to jail. And people, I don't think a lot of Americans recognize that when you get arrested, especially for something as inconsequential as marijuana, there's millions of Americans have been put in a system where their life is now a Jenga table, and one false move can have that entire thing come crumbling down. And that's the situation you're put in. You're put in a situation where your future is literally at jeopardy, and that pressure you feel, it's not just dealing with police brutality. The brutality continues after you get after you come out of jail and trying to get a job, trying to vote, trying to change laws. There's so many things that you still have to deal with, and the pressure is constantly on you.
I want to see more stories like Ashton's story, because like you were saying, it's very like what you're saying is like you grew up around a lot of people who had very similar experiences like you, but yet that's not really reflected. Like, the truth of that is not reflected on screen. Yeah. So those are the stories that absolutely need telling.
Ashton's just an innocent kid. Ashton's an innocent kid minding his business, but he knows the guy that sold the drugs that OD'd the girl. and Detective Vic Mackey pulls up. Takes Ashton and chokes him
like,
up.
I'm not a drug dealer, I'm a prostitute. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You're not a drug dealer right now.
Yeah.
But if I take this crack cocaine and put it in your pocket, that's 10 years. Where's T-Bake? Tell me where T-Bake is.
I ain't telling you shit, copper.
That's all the time we have for today. I'm pretty sure we fixed Copaganda. Special thanks to you, Madeline, and special thanks to you, Ashton, for going beyond the scenes with me today. Hopefully, we've taken you beyond the scenes. Take care, everybody. I'm going to go rewatch The Shield now. I'm sorry, it's a good show.
I think I am too, honestly.
Yeah, I think I'm a huge fan now. Yeah.
Bro. Everybody go watch The Shield. Yeah. I think that's the...
He went on a date with Forrest. Look, I know the music is playing. I know I'm supposed to shut up now. I don't care. Forrest Whitaker was internal affairs and was investigating Vic Mackey. Vic Mackey went on a date with his ex-wife just to break him down.
Yeah.
Cold world.
That's
and that
a dirty
ain't even
cop.
Spoiling
yeah.
it.
That's a dirty that cop.
That's a dirty cop. He's dirty macking and dirty copping. Damn.
Yeah.
Yo.
Oh. Yo. We'll see y'all next week. Listen to The Daily Show Beyond the Scenes on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Want to go even further beyond the scenes? Check out the video version of Beyond the Scenes on The Daily Show's YouTube page.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.